Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Memvav, and we're holding at the sugya, in the middle of the sugya of the spinal cord, the Chut HaShidra, and we got up to the question of how far down the spine is that Chut HaShidra, given the chumrah of the Chut HaShidra, because, look, remember, you've got a cable full of nerves, and that cable full of nerves is providing nerve connection to the entire body through various branch nerves that go all along the body. Now, obviously, as you get closer and closer to the tail, you become less and less critical that those nerves should survive. And they're not going to affect breathing. And at one point or another, it may be that it doesn't even have a din of the Chut HaShidra anymore, just like any other nerves. So if we take a look at six lines up from the bottom on Memheomet Beis, the Gemara wants to know, Ad Heichan Chut HaShidra. How far down the spine would we consider the Chut HaShidra to still be the Chut HaShidra? And so, Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel, very opaque statement, Ad Bein HaPerashot. Between the branching nerves. Now, there's lots of branching nerves. And, okay, clearly we're only talking about the branching nerves that are at the end of the rib cage and the main vertebrae. That we understand ourselves. But there's lots of branches that come even after that area, above the legs. And what about them? So we don't know what he means. So, redeeming Bar Yitzchak, he was going to leave the area of Rav Yehuda, and he was leaving to Beit Chazai, and before he left, he wanted to know the halacha l'maisa about the Bein HaPerashot. So he went to Rav Yehuda, and he said, could you please show me, lich ve'limar Bein HaPerashotecha, before I leave, I need to know where the Bein HaPerashot are. Could you please give me a demonstration? So Rav Yehuda said to him, go out to the butcher shop, and get me a gedi v'achvilach. Bring me a goat that was shechted and that was skinned so that we could actually show you on the body of this gedi. So he did. Aitil a gedi shmeina. He brought him a very heavy, fatty gedi. And Rav Yehuda looked at it and said, there's too much fat here for you to even be able to make it out. The Bein HaPerashot is so surrounded by fat, embedded in the fat, and you can't make it out. Velo yedia. So he sent him back. So he made the mistake of going to the opposite extreme, which often happens. So this time, Rav Dimi Bar Yitzchak brought a completely lean gedi. Now over here, since there was no fat, the nerves had become so pressed in to the bones that he couldn't make it out either. He said, b'lietve, velo yedia. And in this case, the bones stick out too much. I can't make out the nerves against the bones. Look, this is ridiculous, says Rav Yehuda. Let me just explain it to you, and then you'll be able to make it out yourself. I'll teach you the halach. Ta gemara gemara. Let me tell you what my Kabbalah is. If I can't give you a Barnea show and tell, at the very least, we can discuss the issue. So hachi amar Shmuel. What Shmuel said is the way to define it is that if you take a look at the, you'll see branching nerves. So, ad achat trefa. So, anywhere from the beginning, meaning from where we talked about the polyn, that mark the beginning of the cord at the end of the moach, so at that point, all the way down, till you get to the branching nerves that come after the ribs at the place where now you're above the legs. And that for sure, all of that is considered to be a din of the Chut HaShidra. So until the first branch, for there it's for sure a trefa. And in the third branching, there it's for sure kosher. In the second branching, I don't know. Now, what he said is very opaque, even so. adding branches doesn't tell us which is considered to be between the branches, which is considered to be part of the previous branch. So we don't know. And therefore, boy, Ravuna Bered Rav Yehoshua, what exactly do you mean when you say until the branch? You could mean ad v'ad b'chlal. You could mean ad v'lo ad b'chlal. I mean, like, these are basic issues. Are you including the entire area between the first branch and the second branch? Is that what you're talking about? You mean just up to the branching and then the next piece is considered to be post and it would be kosher? And I don't understand even that. Boy with Papa says, well, even if you know the answer to that, you still got a lot of problems. Let's say, okay, if you tell me that you meant ad, the low ad b'chlal. So what about, that would mean that what? That between the area, between branch one and branch two is not included. And it's not part of the Bikkut HaShikra. But what about the area of the branch itself? How about the Pi Parashah? There's a little bit of area that is between the branching nerves. Is that included? If you say Ad V'lo Ad B'chlal, do you mean V'lo Ad B'chlal up to the next branch, V'lo Ad B'chlal? Or do you mean even the Pi Parashah itself is not included? And only where the branches start coming out? Or by Rabbi Yirmiyah? If you say ad v'ad b'chlal, that he did mean to include it, what's the law about the branching nerves? Are the branching nerves, so these are giant branches, right? So they go down and they relate to all of those profound nerves in the leg that we're going to be learning about later in the Gidon Osha. Are those nerves themselves part of the Chut HaShidra? So that we consider the Chut HaShidra itself to have branched, or that's it, the Chut HaShidra has ended, and these branched nerves are just like any other nerves. What's the din? Well, that we can see in a bright Tashma, HaParasha Tidon Kibasar, that the branch itself is just like meat. It doesn't have any din of Moach as if it's part of the Chut HaShidra itself. And that seems to mean that even the first branch, my love, parasha rishona v'shniya even, not necessarily. It may mean the third branch, because we said over there that for sure it's kosher, so I don't know. How about in a bird, b'ufa? Rabbi Yana omer lamata min ha'agapayim, Reish Lakish omer ad ben ha'agapayim. Here this is my focus, rishonim, what exactly we mean. So it's up to the point where the wings, so basically, the way that the Rosh understands this is it's the place where the wings are attached to the body, and that's similar to the place where we have a concept of the legs by the case of the animal, but we're talking about the Menah Parashot. And Reish Lakish says only ad ben agapayim. It doesn't go to the end of the chibur, it only goes to the place between the wings, and not further. Now, here Rashi understands that this is not a reference to the Mokum HaChibur of the wings, but it's the wings that are folded up against the body, which, of course, is much, much longer than what the Rosh is talking about. And, as usual, the Ashkenazim have decided to be Machner, and the Sfardim look at the Sugya Kipute, Paskin like the Rosh, and therefore are much more makel. Amarula, I was once standing, and I was in front of Ben Pazi, the Aitelekai Me'ufa, and they actually brought him a bird where there was a chashash, that there was a pagan in the Chut HaShidra, and he only checked up to Bodak Ad Ben Akapayin. He didn't go any further than that. And at that point, a messenger came in carrying an invitation from the Beit HaNasi, and it said that he's wanted by the Nasi. And he stopped checking, and he left. And he went to the Beit HaNasi. Now, I don't know why. Sholach le'devenasiyah v'kom la'azam. He dropped the bird, and he got up to go to the Beit HaNasi. But I'm not sure if he did that because he had actually finished, and he didn't need to be bedek more than the place Ben Agapayim, or if he did that because he was still in the middle, but he felt that he could not put off, because of the Kavod HaNasi, he could not put off his bedika, the visit to do finish his bedika. So I'm not sure. Imishum Kavod Nasiya. Okay. Next trefa that we have in our Mishnah is Nitla HaKaved. So here we said Nitla HaKaved V'lo Nishtar HaMenem Klum. Nothing at all was left of the Kaved. Then it's a trefa. But it mashed if anything at all is left, then it's not a trefa. So that's the obvious diak. V'lo Nishtar HaMenem Klum. Even if something at all was left, the Kaved will regenerate. Doesn't matter how much it is. Doesn't say you need a kesayit. Avagav de lo avi kesayit. Problem is that in the Mishnah coming up, which is the opposite Mishnah of the Elo Trefas, and it lists the things that are kisherot, even though you'd think they're trefot, it doesn't say the kaved that has something left. It says the kaved that has a kesayit left. So what happened? The first part of the Mishnah is mashma anything, and the second part says only if there's a kezayit left. Amar Rav Yosef, you're absolutely right. It's a contradiction, but it's a psak according to two different tanoim. Lokasha, or Rabbi Chiya, or Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. Rabbi Chiya holds that the slightest amount of kaved will regenerate, and Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi, he holds that you need to have at least a kezayit. And we know that they have very different feelings about the kaved overall, because basically Rabbi Chiya would not eat liver. Now, came along with his chicken or with his meat, he would throw out the livers. So in other words, even though the belief at the time was, remember, that any vital organ provides vitality, so-called chayitasmi, he didn't care about the liver. So he obviously held that the liver is not all that vital. And therefore, he would actually say that if the liver is not so chashuv, so then basically doesn't have that kind of value. And because of that, he would tell you that you need to have a lot of it for it to be valuable. As Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi, he was very makpid, and he would be matfil. He would take the liver and he would eat it. He would make chopped liver, mix it with onions. The way to remember who was makshiv the liver and who was not makshiv the liver is to remember ashirin mikamtzi. Like they say, people that are rich, they are very stingy. So the way to remember is Rav Shimon bar Rabbi was a multi-billionaire, you know, and he would take the liver and he would eat it and he would make it a important dish. Whereas Rabbi Chiya, who didn't have any money, he would just throw it out. Okay. So anyway, if the little bit of the liver was left, it would regenerate. So because of that, Rabbi Chiya, he said that it basically, some learn just the opposite, but basically, since the liver is not so important, so it is kosher even if you have less than a kezayit. So some learn that means even though it won't regenerate, which doesn't make much sense in practical terms. But anyway, that's how Rashi quotes. Okay. Ahupu mulzidata lapumpetita. This is a very funny Gemara. So there was the army was coming into Pumpadisa, and Rabbi Zeira was a government employee, so he didn't have to run away, but all of the other Jews did not want the IRS plundering them and running through their stuff. And whenever the army would come to town, they left. So Oraku, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef took the first bus out of town, and they're running away. And Rabbi Zeira meets them while they're running, and he says to them, wait a minute, hey, Arukai, you poor refugees, I got to tell you something. Listen, Kizayit Shalom Rubimakamara. I wouldn't want to miss out on telling you this halacha. I just got this in the latest news, that the kezias that needs to be left of the liver has to be left in the place where the liver actually connects to the gallbladder. That's the most chashuv area, and if it's not there, then it won't regenerate. Now, Rav Adar Bar Rava didn't agree to that, and he held it's from makom shechaya. It's from the place where it will live, which we're going to see later on is a connection to the diaphragm or to a kidney. Anyway, halakha l'maisa omer Rav Papa, hilkach. Since, remember that Rav Papa is called Rav Papa because he always has two mouths, and this is what Rav Papa always does. If somebody says X and someone else says Y, he says, therefore, we'll need both X and Y. So, because of that, Rav Papa does his thing here again, and he says, hilkach, since we have these two different approaches, be'inan kizayit b'makom mara, u'be'inan kizayit b'makom shehichaya. So therefore, we need basically two kizayisim, because we're not sure what that is. Halacha l'maisa, we need three kizayisim, because we're not sure what the makom shehichaya is, whether it's the connection to the kidney or it's the connection to the diaphragm. So halacha l'maisa, this becomes a big suffix. And David just sent us a beautiful picture of the gallbladder where it's attached to the liver, and that would be the mokum that was, he shouted out, Rabbi Zera shouted out to them. It has to be in that perfect location just sent to you by David Solomon. Why Rabbi Yirmiya? How about if you don't have a kezayit all in one place, but you've got a kezayit in little places, you know, a third of a kezayit here, a third of a kezayit there, and you put it all together, and you end up with that kezayit. Or what about if you have a kezayit, but it's like a long, thin strip of liver? Or what about, boy, Rav Ashi? What about if it's a kezayit mirudat? What if it's like really flattened, so it's just like a flat piece of tissue, and you have a kezayit, an elongated kezayit like that? Take Rabbi Zrika, mi Rabbi Ami. How about if the kaved got loose, but it's still attached to the tarpashe? So this is why I said before that the mashmaut is that the diaphragm is the place that you're going to want to have the makom shehichaya. So this seems to support that idea. And so what if it would be loose, but it's still connected? So what's the din? Rabami said, I don't know what you're asking. I never heard of loose. What does loose mean? Dildul. I don't know what dildul means. Whatever. Do you have a place of a kezayit? Yes. In the makom of the morim. In a place where it's makom shehichaya. You're telling me it's loose? I have no idea what loose is. We never said anything about loose. And I don't understand the question. The liver is here, and there was no psul of dildul. Now, we reach our very important halachas of Reya Shenikva. Now, this case of Reya Shenikva is the most common of all of the treifas. And as we're going to get to tomorrow, the idea of the signs on the Reya, that it was, these are adhesions that we'll be talking about. That's the major issue in Kashrus today, which is the question of klat or non-klat or Bet Yosef Klat, or Klat, according to the Ashkenazim, and the various different minhagim of the Ashkenazim, and so on. So before we get to that, that will get to the din of the adhesions, we'll get to tomorrow. But today, let's just try to understand the aspect of the Reya. So what do we mean when there's a hole? It's Rav, Shmuel, and Rav As, they all agree that we're talking about the upper membrane. I remember we talked earlier in the day about the nature of an upper membrane and the lower membrane. And even though, l'maisa, again, it seems weird because if you've got a lower membrane that's going to still allow the air to remain filling the lung and not leaking, what's the problem? And yet, They all say that even a hole just through the outside of the lung will make it a treif. And this is, again, because of the klal that we've spoken about so many times. Anything which ultimately will cause the treifa that is the vital issue to take place, it's as if it already took place. And since you've got to protect the inner lining of the lung, just the thin membrane of the lung itself, you therefore have, if you have a hole through the upper protection, it's the equivalent of a hole through the lung. But some say that that's not what Rav and Shmuel Rav Asi said, and that actually the Mishnah is actually the karma tato. It's only the lower membrane. And in fact, Omer of Yosef, Barmin Yume, Omer of Nachman, the way to remember this, that we're referring to the lower membrane, which is right around the lung, the simanecha, kituna devarda demantcha beirea. We're talking about the specific color of rose, which is the shirt that you, a ketonet, that is in, the lung lies in that ketonet. Now, the reason we use ketuna is because if you keep your mind open, you will see that all of the dinim that have to do with the rea have to do with Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, of course, is the rea, and he was zoicha to eichel b'chol ha-rea, and the rea is named after him. And the mandiyomim that discuss this have to do with Yosef. And the kituna is the ketonet of Yosef, who is compared to Varda, shines like a rose, as we find in other places in the Gemara. And therefore, this became the simen to remember it with. And that's why we call it a ketonet, rather than a saka or something else, demont chaboreya. Now, pshita, it's very clear that if the outside membrane had a hole, and not the inside membrane, that in this case, the lower membrane is going to be perfectly functional. It doesn't break just because it doesn't have the upper protection. And it's still going to be kosher, because Rava said, even if you peeled off the entire upper layer, and you left the lung looking like Tzadik Katamar Yifrach, which is an Ahina Sunka, so that's a red date, which is also a remez, of course, to the Tamar and the nature of Yosef HaTzadik, so that you were left behind with an Ahina Sunka, it's still kosher. So obviously, it's not important for us, and as long as you have the ketunet, it's fine. In Kiftator, but what about the other way around? Suppose the lower membrane was puncture, but not the upper membrane. Is the upper membrane enough to protect the lung in such a way that it will actually repair itself? Megin o lo megin? Because currently, we don't have any escaping air. What's the din? Machlokas between Ravach and Ravina, chad amar lo megin, the chad amar, it is megin. And the halacha is that it is megin, like Rav Yosef, of course. The Amar Rav Yosef, in a case where you hear a sound of escaping air, so there's that hissing sound and that's coming from the lung. So you inflate the lung and it makes noise. Now, the question is, what's that then? If you can spot the exact place that the noise is coming from, so then they do this, by the way, in tire repair shops as well. So where you have a hissing noise in the tire, it's not clear whether if it's a tire that had a tube, whether it's something that's going to be held in place by the outside part of the tire, or whether there's an actual hole all the way through. This is something that they do. They take up the tire, they will put it into water if they can't detect it, inflate the tire and see if it bubbles anywhere. But if they can pinpoint the place where, you'll see them do this all the time, these Arabs, they'll spit on the tire to see if there's any bubbling in the space where the hissing is coming from. So the same thing is true over here. If it's making this sound of escaping air, yadinan hecha avsha, if you can hear precisely where that place is, what you do is you take a feather or some spit or you take a piece of straw and you see if there's any movement of that feather or if there's any bubbling in the spit. you could see that it's escaping, then it's a trefa. So imavatvitsa, if there's movement, it's a trefa. But if there's no movement, then there's clearly no air escaping, and all that you're hearing is the sound of air escaping through the hole in the lower layer, but it's still protected by the karma ila. If you can't tell where the sound's coming from, then you have to inflate the entire lung and put it into a container of water, exactly as they do in the tire shops. So, maitinan metichwa de maya, you bring a large container of water that is filled with maya pishurit. It has to be lukewarm water, as we'll see why. Mutvinan al begavinus be room temperature. You put the entire lung in the water and you inflate it. Don't use hot water. Dekavtze, because that is going to cause, tzimachlok is what this means, that it could cause it to seal up the hole, or dafka, it could cause it to loosen, then it'll make a hole. That's tzimachlokas. But anyway, the hot water is going to wreck the test. Don't use cold water. It's also going to wreck the test because it makes the lung very tight and stiff. And again, question, does that mean it's easily made a hole, or does that mean that it will make the hole tight and not allow the out, whatever it is, but it wrecks the test. So if you want to get a test that's not going to give you false results, make sure that you're using lukewarm water. If there's water bubbling in the container, then you know that the air is escaping from the lung, and therefore it's a trefa. So imavatsvas a trefa, ilo kishera, because tata inkiv iloi lo inkiv. It must be, if there's no bubbling, that the sound that you're hearing is hai da avsha zika da beni beni. You are only hearing the air escaping between the two. So there's air escaping from the hole in the lower membrane, escaping into the space between the two membranes, but it's being held in place, and therefore it's not a trefa. All of this sounds very esoteric. And remember, people that are not exposed to the gross workings of the various organs take things as being extremely delicate and like you got to be a master surgeon. Anybody can do this. We actually made sure that everyone that came to that visit to that Schlachthaus, everybody had to blow up a lung. There's nothing to it. These, especially if you're talking about a bovine, these are very large organs. They're easily pulled apart. You can see every last aspect that the Gemara is talking about as if it's under magnification. And it's literally the same as blowing up a tire. You just take the kana, put it in your mouth, and blow hard. So it's a little bit difficult to blow up the whole lung, but they use an actual tire pressure thing to blow it up, of course. But the bottom line is, these are things that really it pays to visit. I remember one of the things that the Sheikh couldn't resist doing was throwing this gigantic testicle at somebody and saying, "You know what this is? That's the Gemara about Kenegdo Bebeitzim Nikar." So again, everything is so gigantic that it's very easy to pick out the organs and to know exactly what, without being like a brain surgeon, to be able to examine the Kruma Moach and so on. It's very hard to imagine these things until you see how, on a gross level, you're literally looking at this big machine in which everything is just stuck into each other, and it really gives you a very mechanistic and gross level vision of what's happening. So I say it's Kedai to do.
Okay, Rebbe, let's go.
Okay.
Where are we going?
Absolutely.
I have no connection with
Shabbat. Right now, I want that recording. Does anybody know what happened to the recording of Erev Shabbos? It's a disaster. You've got to check everything alone. Keep looking, man.
So I did research it. I could have gone onto Rendy's sake file. I don't have a paid account. So if you gave me permission to record, I would have gone to Rendy's cloud.
I checked. I did check. It's not on my file. There's nothing from that. I hope it's not because it erased it. Because
a master recorded you out there. If you got any permission and it went there, it's got to be a file in your iPad.
Maybe it's in your iPad alone.
It's going to be search all Zion and colleagues.
Can it?
I don't pay the account either. And I recorded it, just went into my Zoom and callings.
We'll chat after, so tell me that it
came. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's really, really important. Wishing you a nechama on this incredible yard site day, my beloved Naftali. Okay. So now, let's go into what Rava had said before. I know it's getting late. What time is it here? Can we do a little bit more? Or is it too late for everyone? I know it's very late. Let's give it another 5 minutes. What do you say? So we don't start falling behind. So we've got a number of limudim from Rava, and we started before. Gufa, Amar Rava, Hayreya de'igli kahina sumka kishera. So if you peeled off the outside layer of the lung and you still have the membrane around it and it looks like a red date, it's kosher. Furthermore, Amar Rava, Reya she'edima miktsasa kishera. A lung that became bloody. So it looks like there was blood that was leaking into the tissue. If it's only part of the lung, it's kosher. But if the entire lung looks like that, it's trefa. Omale Ravina Larava, that doesn't make any sense. Miktsata mai taima. Why do you say that if only part of the lung was bloody, that it's considered to be kosher? Because you hold the hatra baria. So if you hold that it's going to be reabsorbed, and basically what you're looking at is a bruise that is going to be, the blood will be reabsorbed into the tissue. So then why is it any different? It's partially or entirely. Kulonami hadra barya. Because the marker for this whole halacha, Rabbi Isai, is the din of, believe it or not, shmona shrutz. Now, if you recall, we discussed the issue of shmona shrutz in Lagabi Shabbos, and we talked about making a bruise on the skin of the Shmona Shrutzim versus making a bruise on other Shrutz. And the halacha is, you're only chayev on Chilal Shabbos of Netilat Neshama if you smack one of the Shmona Shrutzim and bruise it. And even if it doesn't bleed, it is considered to be a definite Netilas Neshama. Why is that? Because the skin of the Shmona Shrutzim actually will contain blood in such a way that the blood ultimately is going to exit the area where it would have been reabsorbed, and therefore it's considered to be natul. Vashen came the other Shrutzim, if they don't bleed, so then they're not going to be called the Tilas Neshama. They don't have a storage area in their skin, and it goes right back into whatever capillaries it came from. So now, I'm trying to show you, said Ravina to Rava, that what you're saying makes no sense. Because look, Milo Tanya Shar Shkatzim Rimasim Achi Yetzim and Dam, that Shkatzim and Rimasim are only, if they're not the Shmona Shrutzim, but the Torah lists, if you make a bruise on them, if they didn't bleed, there's no Netilat Neshama. So if you're comparing the lung to the same type of structure that the other Shrutzim have, not the Shmona Shrutzim, what's the difference how much of it was bruised, so to speak? The blood is ultimately going to be reabsorbed. And if you try to tell me, well, I don't compare it to the other Shrutzim. I compare it to the Shmona Shrutzim. V'chite ma. If you try to tell me that I compare it to the Shmona Shrutzim, it amin alay. And it says, beferish in the Braita, that in the Shmona Shrutzim, if the dam was nitzrar in the skin, even though it didn't go out, that is considered to be netilat neshama. That dam is not going to be reabsorbed in capillaries, and it has actually been taken out of the organism. And now it's held in the skin. So maybe you'll say the same thing is true of the lung. But if the same thing is true of the lung, then even a little bit of it should be considered to be the equivalent of a hole in the lung. So you can't have it both ways, my dear. It's one way or the other. Ella must be lo shna. They're basically both the same. So the question is, what do you mean, both the same? So the Rabbeinu Hananel says, look, the same way that even a little bit you're saying is that you're saying, the whole thing is trefa, a little bit is exactly the same. That's Rabbeinu Chananel. Many of the other Rishonim say the opposite, including Rashi and Tosis, who say that it means that in the same way that you're ready to say that a little bit is not, so too, a lot of it is also not. The next thing that Rava said was that if part of the lung dries up, it's considered to be a chisaron, and it's a trefa. How dry do you mean when you say dries up? So, comma, Omer of Papi Bishmeda Rava, that Rava himself explained that the Shiris Kadeshit Tiparech Bitsipore, you would rub your fingernail against it, and it would actually slough off. So it's going to break apart under a fingernail. But wait a minute. That's only true according to the Mishnah in Bechorot, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Amishulam. Because remember, by a Bechor, one of the mumin of a Bechor is that its ear got dried. And over there, the shear of a dried ear, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Amishulam, is only if it's so dry that it's nifrach betziporen. Why do you ignore the Tanakama? And instead of paskening like the Rov, you pasken like Rabbi Yossi ben Amishulam. Take a look, when they remind you of the Mishnah in Bechorot. It's none, it should say. Hey, Zoe, Yvesha, what is considered to be a dry ear of a Bechor? So the Chachamim say she'im tinakeve inamotziati padam. You would put a needle through it, and it wouldn't bleed. Rabbi Yossi ben Amishulam says, no, it has to be so dry, kidei she'tei nifrechet b'tzipore. It has to crumble under your fingernail. Why is Rava defining Yivesha of trefas like Rabbi Yossi ben Amishulam defines the mum of a bechor, and not say the same thing that the Tanakhama said? So does he actually paskin by Bechor also like him? No. Basically, Rava would say, of course, afilu temer Rabbanan. Over here, the Rabbanan would agree that it's not a trefa unless it's so dry that it's nifrech betziporen. Why? Because by the ozen of a Bechor, an ozen of Bechor, my God, it's exposed to the air. It's exposed to pathogens. It's not, if it doesn't have healthy circulation, it is not going to recover. Lo hadrabaria. But the rea is basically protected. It is constantly rebuilding itself. The loka shalit be'avir, it's not exposed directly to the outside. It is very well protected with all types of mucosa and so on. It is going to get better. So unless it's dry to the point that it's nefrechet b'tziporen, then you don't have to worry about it. So we had gone through a lot of different mamores that Rava had said about lungs. And the last thing that we had learned was the question of whether we compare the surface of the lung to the Shmoyne Shrotzen or to the other Shrotzen, in the sense that it's an actual type of skin, in which case, even if it had gotten a bruise and so on, then that din would have given it to then, if it's normal, like Shmoneh Shrotzin, that would have given it a din that it's as if there was already a hole there. But, on the other hand, if we consider it to be similar to the other Shrotzin, and not the Shmoneh Shrotzin, then we don't have that halacha. And in that case, it would just be, the blood would be reabsorbed and there'd be no problem. So we had yesterday, we mentioned it as Machlokes Rishonim, we've shown you, it turns out they're both the same, but the question is, what is the same? Or the chumri? Anyway, let's continue today after we spoke about Rava's latest point, which was the dried out lung, whether we're comparing it to nifrechet betziporen, the way we have with ozen shel bechor dafka, that it would be going according to Rabbi Yossi, or would perhaps even the chachomi be made it to Rabbi Yossi ben Amishulam in the case in which it's a lung, in which it's protected from actual exposure to the outside. So that was the third thing that Rava had said. And now the fourth thing that Rava had said, Vioma Rava, I rea de kaima gildi gildi, this is about six lines up, de kaima gildi gildi, uchme uchme, chazuta chazuta, kishera. So a lung that has scabs on it, that it's on top of the surface of the lung, and it has even scabs that are uchme uchme. Now, the way that most Rishonim learn Uchme does not mean what it normally means, which is black. Uchme means over here, the kind of blue, that very dark blue, that makes you suddenly realize at a wedding that you're wearing a dark blue suit. You feel like an idiot because you thought it was a black suit, and you put on a dark blue suit, and you look like you don't belong at the funeral. But anyway, so it's that kind of uchmi. And I see the people that are smiling, they're the people that have been stuck in that kind of situation. Everybody else doesn't know what we're talking about. So you guys know the color I'm referring to, right? So that's the uchmi, which is a very dark blue, which borders on black. And a chazuta. Or even if it's mixed with different colorations, all of which are standard colorations of the lung. Now, the Rambam lists four different colors that are common in lung tissue, and that it's not considered to be any type of gam, pigam. And what he says is like this: Arbam marot mutarot yeshba in the reya ve'eluhin. First of all, shichora kakechol. So he mentions uchmi, and he actually uses the word black, but he means black as in dark, very dark blue. O yiruka kechatzir, it could be also greenish, like chatzir bedaf, because remember, yiruka includes yellow and green in Hebrew. So here he's comparing it to agricultural work. So it's greenish, a greenish color. O aduma, or it could be red, or it could be kemar hakaved. It could look very dark, like the liver looks, and that would also be, if it just looks that way, that would also be a kosher chazuta. So if it's got different colorations, looks weird, that's fine. It's still kosher. And the last thing that we had, which was said over B'Shem Rava, that's the fifth thing that we've had from Rava, about lungs. And according to our Maimar, Rava also said, "Ein makifin bevui." We don't bring, makifin actually means to bring two things together to compare them. So it's meant we don't compare, essentially. What does that mean? So suppose we find a puncture in the lung, and it's not clear whether this is a puncture that was caused by handling of the lung after the shechita, or whether this was actually there before shechita. Now, if we have a place in the lung that hasn't been touched by anybody, and we make a hole in it, that is a hole, obviously, that was made after shechita. We can compare the way that hole looks and compare its anatomy to a hole that we're not sure if it was caused after shechita or before. If they looked the same, then it meant that the other hole, even though it was exposed to people's hands, that hole, if it looks the same, was caused by those hands. But if it doesn't look the same, then we have to assume that it was there before. That's called makifin. So we compare the clear anatomy of the puncture wound, what it looks like, and so on. But we don't do that if it's a blister. So if there was a blister on the surface of the lung that has a hole in it, you don't compare the way that a blister that you currently puncture would look with this other blister that's punctured, because blisters constantly change the way that they look in time, and therefore you can't prove when that blister took place, when the puncture in the blister took place, by comparing it. And therefore, it's a completely different situation.